Welcome to the Girl Dad Show, a professional parenting podcast. Each month, I interview entrepreneurs, leaders, and professionals who are balancing parenthood, life, and profession in the hopes to learn what it takes to be an amazing professional parent. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Girl Dad Show. Today, I had my good friend, John, who I have become very, very close and fast friends with here in Austin. He is the Senior Vice President of Operations at SiteTracker, and it is a very, very fast-growing tech company in the telecom space. But more than his professional journey, John is an Austin favorite of mine, and I consider him to be a very, very close friend, and he'll continue to be in my life in the future because he's just a very, very authentic guy, and he has a really good set of values that I really appreciate and admire as he thinks about his daughter and family and work and how he balances those things together. And his aspirations to grow his professional career, but also his commitment to his family values and being a great dad is very, very unique and admirable. And I really do hope you enjoy the show. John, thank you so much for joining me today on my podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm excited to do this with you. I feel like this is a long time in coming, and I'm really glad to get to know you a little bit better. Our entire interactions have been based around professional work, and we've slowly started to bridge that into personal relationships, and now we're going to dive deep into the other side of John, outside of SiteTracker.
Is that back here?
That's right.
I don't know which one.
That's right. So, well, let's just jump right into it. Why don't you tell the listeners what you do for a living?
So I work for a B2B enterprise SaaS company called SiteTracker. For that company, I run operations and customer success. So I'm responsible for everything we do with our customers, along with a lot of internal operations stuff, and you know, helping the company grow in any way possible. I joined when it was about 15 people. I took a plunge to, you know, something that was a bit smaller than what I was working at before, and now we're over 350 people globally.
Holy cow! How long ago was that again?
So I joined in 2016 or 2017, excuse me, just at the beginning of 2017.
Nice. So 15 people, 6 years ago. No, 5 years ago.
Five and a half years ago.
5.5 years ago, and now 350 people.
Yep. It's been a ride. What can I say?
That's a really good ride. That's awesome. And so what departments do you oversee right now? Your operations, but you have customer success.
Yeah. So customer success is where I spend a lot of time. Support, you know, basically add-on sales, which is where I do, you know, everything. Basically everything with our customers is where I spend most of my time. And then I also do some internal operations stuff. I started with an ops background and so then kind of moved into the commercial side of the business as time went on. So, it's been a lot of fun. And we continue to grow. So it's nice.
That's really exciting. And it's awesome that you're still growing. Cause I think I recently saw you announce something about, closing a round of funding, right? Yes. I feel like I saw something last week or something.
The press release came out just a few weeks ago. So we just did about $100 million in a D round with a mix of debt and equity. And so that's going to fund a lot of different growth areas for us, both in the product and in personnel. Nice. So we're super excited to be raising the money, working with good investors, and, you know, to be focused on how we continue to grow the business going forward. So it's a good time to be at SiteTracker. You know, we're continuing to grow up and to the right.
That's awesome. And then did you always know that you wanted to be in some sort of like leadership role, or is that something that you just kind of fell into during this process, or were you at a leadership role previously, or what did that look like?
Yeah. So I was at a leadership role in my previous company. I think that, good managers are hard to find. And so I work really hard to be a good manager. Not that I'm the best or anything, of course, but I like leading people because I think that the best way to get scale in companies is to be a good leader. Hmm. Ultimately, the work that you do when you are 15 people and everybody is essentially an individual contributor does not scale. And in my mind, the way you scale companies is by building good teams and building good leaders.
That's awesome. That's really, really refreshing to hear, especially coming from a leader at a tech company, you know, because it's like, it's not the most common adage, you know. I hate to ask this, but what exactly does SiteTracker do? Because I should actually
know this,
given the fact that we've hung out so many times now.
Yeah, it's so we are a critical asset deployment and maintenance platform. So critical infrastructure, things like telco towers, telecom infrastructure, EV chargers, energy grids, they have to have be deployed in some way. And before SiteTracker, a lot of that work is done on Excel, where you do the same thing over and over again at many different sites. But with SiteTracker, we are focused on making those repeatable asset deployment and maintenance processes more scalable.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. It's definitely like not what I thought it was going to be at all. So I'm glad I asked and didn't try to stab a guess at it.
A lot of people are like, oh, are you tracking websites? And no, we're not. We track physical sites, but not websites. Websites, we leave that to more, you know, smarter people than us.
That's awesome. I love it. And I also love how the industry that you guys are targeting and the structures that you guys are targeting is so not what I was expecting. It almost sounds like an unsexy business. You know what I mean? It's like one of those businesses that are tackling these boring industries, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, my view of enterprise software and you can take this for what it's worth, but like, I think that, I'll call it the most, sexy businesses are the ones that are focused on, boring problems, but they're real problems. And, you know, we're transitioning. So with the advent of things like 5G, you know, the telecom industry has been deploying 3G and 4G in spreadsheets and using spreadsheets to deploy networks that we all use to talk on our phones every single day. Well, with the advent of 5G, the technology has gotten so much smaller that you have to deploy so much more of that technology. So you can't do it in spreadsheets. You have to scale. So when you talk about, you know, software companies solving mission critical problems, that's to me much more, you know, sexy than the latest, coolest, I don't know, VR, AR, whatever the cool kids are doing these days. So that's what I focus on, at least on enterprise software. Consider me old school or something like that. But I think this solves a real problem with a real need in the industry that continues to grow.
I love it. I love it. I also love the fact that you just qualified yourself as not part of the cool kids.
I've never been part of the cool kids.
That's actually a good segue. Let's talk about your childhood. What was your childhood like?
My childhood. Well, I lived in a lot of different places as a kid. Or I should say a lot of different houses within a couple different cities. So my dad was in the chemical industry, which I'm from Texas. So we just went up and down I-10, depending on where his work took us. So really from like San Antonio through east of like Baton Rouge, Louisiana is the chemical industry in the United States. Of course, it's different now, and I'm no expert at this, but we just went from city to city around there, depending on what plant he was working at the time. So he's a research chemist, and he was, but we would like go to Houston, and then we'd go to Austin, and then we'd go back to Houston, and then we'd go to Lake Charles, and we'd go back to Houston. So I moved a lot as a kid, ultimately, you know, had a good family life at home that was very supportive of that.
Nice. And then do you have brothers and sisters?
I have one brother and one sister. I should say one sister and one brother, because my sister was born next and my brother was born last. And so now we've all got a bunch of kids running around. My mom has gone on July 1st of 2019. She had 0 grandchildren. And now she has 5 grandchildren with one coming next year. So she is in heaven now, and they all live within a 2-hour radius of her. So she's in heaven now.
Oh man, it's something that she's wanted, huh? She's wanted for a while.
And she was very cool about waiting, just to give her some credit here. But yeah, she loves this now. So it's great.
And so, so how many of those grandchildren are your kids?
One is mine, and then one will be here next year is mine as well. So,
do you see how I did that? That was like a host trick, because I actually know you only have one kid. Trying to segue these questions into it. You know, I'm getting good at this game. You know, I'm getting.
Hey,
you know,
I mean, I think you're doing great.
Hey, thanks.
So I don't know if I'm supposed to give you feedback here or not, but I think you're doing a great job.
Hey, I love it. I'll take it anywhere I can get. Yeah. No, I'm totally teasing, but so talk to us about your daughter.
Yeah, so my daughter is 2.5 now. She is repeating everything we say. So if you come to my house, I now have to watch my mouth, which has not always been the case in the past.
Yeah.
She is a firecracker in all the best ways. I love this age. So she and I do all sorts of things together. She has her, when I get home from, we have like five different games we play together. So when I get home from a work trip, she wants to do all five in a 20-minute period to make up for the lost time. But so we have a lot of fun together. She is, I think she's going to be in charge of the world someday. So.
Oh yeah, she's a firecracker for sure. That's a really great adjective for her. She's definitely very rambunctious. Love her to death. Can I ask though, why did you wait? Because it sounds like your mom was pushing for it, but it sounds like you made the decision to wait. What was that about?
Yeah, I we weren't in a rush. In 2017, we moved to New Jersey and then to California for Sidetracker over a 3-year period, and then came back to Texas in 2020. I think it's certainly helpful to raise kids around your family, and have found that I was not in a rush to ever get to that point. I absolutely wanted kids and still want more children. I feel that I was not missing anything by not having them early. So I wanted to explore things, to travel, to do, live new places, and then ultimately come back home for the family side. Versus trying to have kids a lot earlier. So that's what, my wife and I decided together. And then we've been, now we're on the kids train, we'll be a family of four next year, and then maybe more beyond that.
Family of four next year. That's exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, in April.
That's amazing. Yeah. So the one on the way is yours.
The one on the way is mine. Yeah. I was leading you. That's a contestant trick.
I love it.
Is to lead you.
I love it. You're natural at this. I love it. That's really, really amazing. Congratulations. That's very, very exciting.
Thank you.
And I can't wait for you to experience what it's like to have two, because I will say that one was phenomenal. Like, it was so good. I mean, not that I'm like a veteran parent. My kids are only like 2 years older than yours, but the second kid is just like, you just like can't imagine loving something more, and then like there's more love to give. It's just so unbelievable. Yeah.
Well, what I've been told is that you double the children, but quadruple the work. Yeah. So, the child to work relationship is not linear. It's definitely exponential, is what I've been told at least. So, I expect to have some extra things there.
Yeah. I also heard that the third kid is like really, really bad. Like, it's just incredibly hard. And then the fourth kid is super easy.
Yeah. I don't know if we'll get to four.
I have a thesis, though, that a lot of these parents that say that is because they don't actually care as much by the fourth one. They just stop. They just kind of give into it, and they just let it go. Yeah. So that's my thesis.
I can see that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can see that for sure.
Yeah, you started intentionally because you wanted to travel and live. So you did that kind of, did this more mapped out and planned out. It wasn't like a...
I don't know if mapped out and planned out is what I'd call it. I just wasn't in a rush.
Got
so
it.
We were, we actually met in college. We didn't get married in college, but we met in college and then dated for a while before getting married, but we were just never in a rush to go and start on that stuff. So we spent time, and by time, I mean just trips, not actual living there, but in Europe and South America and areas that we, that are much harder to go visit with kids.
Yeah.
It wasn't like an intentional plan. It was just more of, we enjoyed what we were doing at the time and knew that we'd get to kids eventually.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, because I'm just like curious as to what made you make that decision, but it sounds like it wasn't necessarily a mapped out thing. It was more just like, hey, right now I'm not in a rush and this happened. Because the reality is that you joined a startup at 15 employees, and then you had a kid at what? I'm assuming like Series C? Series C at that stage?
Maybe it was B and a half. And look, when I joined the startup, that certainly put some time between us and the kids, because back then we were working, like we used to joke, we worked half days at Sidetracker, 7 to 7. back then it's like, you're doing everything you can to keep the business running.
Yeah.
So I don't think that time period was conducive to kids.
Yeah.
Now we are a bigger business. We have more scale. We have more people, so we can, you know, people have the ability to go do that.
Yeah.
So I'm glad I didn't have a kid when I started working there, because I don't think I would have been as effective. And I also feel it's very important to be a good father. So I sometimes those things don't, for some people it does. For me, it doesn't necessarily go as well together to work at a 15 person company and have a newborn.
Yeah. It's actually very, very similar to the, one of the reasons why I left Phil's Coffee. So I left a startup at Series B just as they were closing their Series C, because the amount of time I was spending there didn't seem like it was going to decrease. It looked like it was going to get actually worse. And it just, not that you couldn't have kids doing it. I'm not by any means suggesting that, you know, people shouldn't do that. You know, I think that it's possible, and I've seen a lot of people that marry the two things together, but I just wasn't for me. Like, I didn't want that.
I
wanted to be a little bit more, more equitable between the two things.
Yeah.
Right.
One of the things that I've always said is, or that I've just accepted in my life, is that I don't have like major hobbies.
really?
Because the reason for that is that my job is demanding, and I want to spend all the other time that I have with my daughter.
I love
So I don't play golf. I know how to play golf. I'm terrible.
Yeah.
I'm good at the cart part and the beer drinking part. So if you need someone to do that, just let me know. But the hitting part is not so great, which I feel like is what a lot of people actually want to do on the golf course, is hit the ball. But you know, I when I'm home, I want to be with my daughter, because I travel a lot for work. And so, you know, for me, it's my family is my hobby. And I'm fine with that. I don't need other hobbies outside of that.
I love the way that you just articulated that, because I kind of was surprised when you said it. But the reality is, I actually mirror the same sentiment. I just haven't embraced it like you have. So, like, for example, like, I work a lot, and then I work really hard. And then when I do have time off, I want to spend it with my family. Exactly right. And so I just like immediately didn't like realize the way that you're laying it out is that you're doing it intentionally and you're accepting it, where I just kind of say, no, I love playing music. You know, like, I love to go, like, skateboard or whatever. You know, I like do these things. I have these hobbies. But the reality is that I don't ever really do them anymore, because I'd rather spend the time working or with my kids right now. And just things fall off.
Yeah.
That's a really, really interesting way to look at it. I love that.
Yeah. And this doesn't mean I don't have friends. It doesn't mean I don't do things. It just means, like, I'm not going to leave on a Saturday morning to go play golf, for example. So, you know, and some people might consider that a sacrifice. I consider it just the way that I've chosen to live my life. So,
yeah, that's awesome. And speaking of it, when your kids do get old enough where they don't want to hang out with you, we should totally go play golf. Because I am totally in the same boat as you. I used to play quite a bit in high school, and then not quite a bit, but I played in high school. I could definitely swing okay. I'm pretty good at pretty good driving. I'm terrible at putting. But I'm not good, and I'm really good at driving the cart, and I'm really good at drinking. I love drinking and walking. Exactly. It's really fun.
Yeah, and I can actually do both at the same time.
Nice.
And so, yeah, but I'm good at par three courses, because it's like smaller holes, so you can hit a 5-iron off the tee.
Yeah.
And it takes like 2 hours versus 5.
Yeah.
So I'm really good at that, but good in quotes, you know.
Yeah,
That's my sweet spot on golf. It's like a good par three course and a couple of beers, and then I can be home 2 hours later.
That's right. You don't even need all your clubs. You just need your irons, and you're good to go. Yeah.
Well, I just say I only bring one club, because that's all I need. But that's not right.
That's awesome. So when you think about your parenting, and you're talking about how you want it to be more present, and then you're talking about traveling, what does that look like for you? So you're traveling what? Like, how much out of the month are you traveling? And how are you kind of matching the needs of, you know, your dad duties versus your work duties?
Yeah, I mean, so traveling for me comes in waves. And so it we'll have a, you know, it'll be a 4-week stretch where I'm, you know, gone at least 2 nights every week. And then I'll have a couple weeks at home, and then I'll do it again. It kind of ebbs and flows like that. I'm in a pretty bad stretch right now, but it is what it is. I think I've always traveled since I was 22. I've always had a job where I've flown a lot, so I'm just kind of used to it now. But that goes back to like how you invest your time when you're at home. And I know that the travel is hard. So then when I'm home, I have to invest really, really a lot there. So that's the way I handle it. And I've got a great wife that supports that and understands that, you know, this is my job and it is what it is at some point. But she also knows that when I'm home, I'm going to give it all at home.
Got it. So you're doing more of like qualitative focus. So when you're at home, you're just being much more intentional about it.
Yeah. And also like I take my daughter to do things for just us as well, to make sure that she gets one-on-one time. And sometimes I take her to do things with other dads and kids, so she can see, you know, other good role models in her life that are also taking the time to be with their kids. So I tend to be less prescriptive and more just, you know, present. Because I think if you try to prescript what you're doing, you're going to let somebody down, and it might be yourself. But if you just try to be present, then you can learn a lot from just like focusing on them instead of focusing on something else.
It's beautiful. I didn't know that you could be so eloquent and thoughtful. Look at you.
I don't consider myself that eloquent, but I'll take it.
How do you think about work? Is that the same process you use for your teams?
I probably have less patience at work. I'm probably more of a hard ass at work than I am at home.
Yeah.
I believe the difference in good and great is attention to detail. And so I have a maniacal attention to detail. And that probably drives a lot of people crazy. But in my mind, that's how you build a great company. And there's no like detail that's too small for anyone on the team, including me. So I drive very, very, you know, specific processes around that. And I also generally don't compromise. And I don't mean that from a compromise of like, I won't work with somebody. I mean, I don't compromise on getting the best output. So, I think that there is a point at which good enough is good enough, but I'm not going to stop short of that, right? So,
wow.
That's a bit about me at work is execution is how you build great companies, not with some magical formula that's going to make you so much better.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm assuming that there's been some adaptation to that from, you know, the seed stage all the way to Series D, right? Like, I'm sure that you didn't have the luxury of being that maniacal in the beginning. Or were you that maniacal from the get-go?
Oh, I was that maniacal in the beginning.
Oh, my God. Why does that not surprise me? I was actually going, I'm assuming this. But, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's you know, enterprise software, it's not like there are new ideas out there, of course, and there are critical industries that don't have a software product yet, and people will build products for those industries, and the world is shifting to software. But like, the difference in good and great companies is attention to detail and execution. You can have the best product, but if you can't execute, it doesn't matter. So that's where I pride myself on, is like that level of execution and knowing that no one will out execute my team.
It's awesome. And then so you hold your team to those standards as well.
Yeah. And I have a great team. And so that's like also part of it is I've got a really strong group of people that, that are, you know, in some cases better than I am at certain things, because their job is to execute. So
what's the consequence if they don't?
I mean, it depends, right? I'm going to dodge that question a little bit, but, you know, you always try to coach people up when they fail,
because it's
so much cheaper to make someone better than to go find someone new.
That's right. Yeah. That's awesome. And sometimes it's also just understanding how serious you are about it, right? Understanding how serious your boss is about something, right? And like, oh yeah, I really like attention to detail. It's like, oh no, no, no.
No, no, really, let me teach you attention to detail.
Exactly. Oh, got it. Okay, you really, really care. Okay, got
right,
it.
Right.
And really, so really sometimes that's all you really need to do at that point as well, too. But I guess the reason why I was asking what the consequence is because I feel like when you get into a position of leadership at a company, you know, there's a lot of like parallels and corollaries to parenting. And I was wondering, yes, like, you know, what that looks like for you. You know, how do you justify and qualify success at work? And then how do you, you know, qualify and justify success at home as a dad?
Yeah, I think that in every interaction, treating people like an adult and with respect is how you get results. Even if you disagree with the person, and I do that to my daughter. I try, although sometimes fail, with my dog. obviously, you do that with your employees as well. Ultimately, you know, they're all people as also, and everybody has their own set of, you know, baggage and their own set of events that have shaped their lives. And I find that when you learn those things, you find out more about the person, and that can help you deal with problems better. You know, my view on enterprise software from a sales perspective is that you have to have value and credibility when you're selling a software product to somebody. So you create the value of the solution. This is not, you know, relationship-based sales like it was 20 years ago, right? You have to create the value of the solution for the company. And then you also have to build credibility. And credibility is built by two things. Number one, have you done it before with another company that's just like them? And number two, have you built a relationship with the person? Mm-hmm. So that's relationship is like 25% versus, you know, 75%. But I also believe those same two tenets exist in managing people and in parenting. Like, you have to be a valuable part of their lives and teach them, coach them, help them learn. You have to be credible with them and show them that you've done it before. And then also you have to build a relationship. And like, when you have all those things, whether it's with your daughter, your dog, or your employee, like, that's how you actually get things done, not by, you know, yelling and screaming and hammers. So.
Nice. That was awesome, man. You've like put a lot of thought into this. This is great. Oh man. I'm not that prescient of a dad to like actually even process that level of like understanding of breaking it down. Right. I have run the risk of like, you know, really being, a mixed bag for my kids. Cause I think at work they see one thing and then with them, I'm like completely different. Right. Like I feel like I'm pretty hard nosed when it comes to business. You know, I'm very direct. Well, I mean, that's not true. I mean, I'm very, you know, affable and I'm very congenial in the sense that like, I like people and I like to please people and make people happy. But at the end of the day, I like to get stuff.
That's the difference. No, at the end of the day, you like to get stuff done.
At the end of the day, I like to get stuff done and I won't let people stop me from winning. Does that make sense? Like, I will definitely make it very awkward if you're the reason why I'm not winning or we're not winning. I get very aggressive, right? That level of like, you know, nicety starts to fall off very quickly when you're the reason I'm not winning. But when it comes to my kids, I find myself giving in like a lot, right? There's like really very little boundaries and, you know, I'll try four or five times and then, you know, I'll just give in. I just want them to be happy. And I just kind of like, you know, what's it's going to matter in the longer term? And, you know, like, is this really going to make that big of a difference when they're 30 years old? And I'm sure it will, but I you get what I'm going?
They take notes for they take notes for their therapist later.
Exactly.
No, I understand where you're going. And, this is going to sound strange, but, work with me till I get to my end point here. It's like, I don't actually care if my kids are happy. I want them to be well loved and I want them to be, good. I want them to be provided for and cared for. And of course, like at a level, I do want them to be happy. So that's why I'm, you know, work with me till I get the answer. But what I'm most concerned about is like, are they good humans? And, sometimes I feel that you have to say no to get to that point. And that's okay. Mm. And that doesn't mean that I'm not a, you know, good father. I don't take care of them. I want them to want for nothing in life, of course, and just like any person, but, you know, my I feel like my role as a dad is to create good humans for the world. And especially like when it comes to daughters, I feel like it's, you know, really important in this day and age to raise strong women. And because I think that that's an important thing that the world needs right now. So as you, you know, come back to being a girl dad, it's like, I want my daughter to be a strong woman, and however I can raise her in that way is what I'm going to focus on, even if it's like not the fun thing to do.
Dude, that's awesome, man. You just raised the bar. I love it. That was, I'm glad you worked all the way through it, because I think that's actually a really, really clear way of articulating what success looks like for you as a parent. And I don't think I've ever heard anyone say it like that. That's really, really okay, interesting. Well. Yeah. Pretty cool.
And I'm not, you know, I want to be clear. I'm not, you know, shitting on anyone. Or, sorry, can I say that on my podcast?
Yeah, totally.
I'm not shitting on anyone else's parenting style by any stretch of the imagination. So I hope no one takes it that way. Yes, this is just how I view my relationship with my daughter and how I try to make her a better person.
Yeah, I mean, I think the big thing for me is that, like, I wouldn't worry about what other people say. Is that as having done, like, you know, what is this, like 60 of these interviews, what I've realized is that most parents, generically, you know, all parents have a level of empathy once they have kids. They just stop like judging totally. Other parents. Yeah, there's like this level totally. Of empathy that's just like, it's like skyrockets, right? You're just like, dude, they must just be tired, or their kid must be having a bad day. Just let it go. We've all been there, right? Like, we're all so tired. There's a level of empathy that all parents have. But I think especially with parents that are building things, like, you know, aspirationally, like growing their career at a Series D company and moving up and striving and traveling and doing all these things that are sacrificial, but also trying to build this thing, we all have different takes on it. And I absolutely want to hear that, because, I mean, if you actually want to know the genesis for even me starting this podcast, is because I'm trying to find out how other people are navigating this conundrum that I'm having, right?
Yeah.
Or I don't want to stop building for my career, but I also want to be a really present dad, you know? And it was such a mind boggle to figure out how to like solve this problem. I'm like, someone must have already like thought this through. And so the whole genesis of this podcast is me just interviewing other people that have been building their careers and also building a family and asking them how they're dealing with it. So for whatever it's worth,
I
want to hear your point of view.
Yeah. I think you're doing a great job.
Let me ask you this then, because you did say you want your kids to not want for anything, but you do want to make sure that they hear no's, because that helps them build good. You're building them to be good humans because you need that. So does that mean like materialistic things, or are you talking about like behavioral things, or both? And then what level of like income do you need? Because you are very successful in the professional sense, right? Like, I would qualify you as a very, very successful professional. And when is enough? Like, what's next for you and why?
Yeah. Well, I mean, thank you for saying that. I appreciate the point there. I struggle with considering myself successful yet, but I appreciate the compliment nonetheless. I think that not wanting for anything is more about not worrying. Like, I don't want them to worry if there's going to be food on the table or a house over their head, or, you know, because I believe that, you know, you talk about the hierarchy of human needs, and like and this is I want to take care of those needs, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what I don't want them to want for, is anything that would prevent them from learning in the world.
Right.
Now, does that mean that I'm going to say no to the newest and latest and greatest toy? Of course. So I'm going to say no to those things because they don't need those things. And mm-hmm. I'm going to get them toys on their birthday and Christmas and other holidays, and sometimes just for fun, of course, like you're going to spoil your kids just like everybody else. And I'm going to do that too, but I'm also going to make sure that they understand like discipline and like delayed gratification and things like that. So when I say they don't want anything, I don't want them to ever have a question about something that would prevent them from learning.
Nice.
Like food, like shelter, things like that.
Got it.
So, that's, you know, that's as far as like what's next for me, the answer is I don't know. You know, we have to be successful at Sidetracker first. And I think we're on a great path to do that, but ultimately, you know, it's not done until it's done. So, there's a lot of good people that are working at this company that are incredibly important for us to be successful. Right. So, you know, what's next for me, I'll probably do this again someday. I don't know what that's going to look like, but, I'm certainly not done after this round, and we'll have to continue to go from here. So
That's awesome. So you have, obviously there's a crap ton of work to get SideTracker to the finish line for sure. I mean, I don't think by any means it's a done deal, right? I get that. Because even at Series D and $100 million, you have a lot of different types of pressure, but still pressure nonetheless. I understand that.
Right.
But what you're saying in the macro, if I can read between the lines, is you still have another tour of duty in the books.
I think so.
Nice.
Yeah, after a nice break on a beach for about 30 to 60 days, maybe 90. I think I've got another tour in the books. I mean, if I retired early, my wife would kill me. So it's not an option.
Why? Because you don't have hobbies?
Yeah, exactly. That's the problem. I just don't have hobbies. I just follow her around all day and she'd go crazy.
My God, that's awesome. I love it.
I just spend all day in your pool.
Yeah, there we go. I'd be okay with that. I'd be okay with that.
I'd be on a float, drinking a beer, driving my golf cart around your house, man.
That's right.
That's what's next for me, actually.
I'd be okay with that. Well, maybe we should make that 120 days, so you could do your 90 days on the beach, and then
30 days just drive around your house as I look for new things to do on your property. That sounds like
that's
fun.
Right. It's like that movie with Adam Sandler. Remember when he was like Billy Madison? Wait, is that Billy Madison?
You're asking the wrong person about pop culture stuff.
Okay. So. Oh yeah, back to you not knowing what the cool is. Yeah,
right. That's funny. Right. I'm not cool. Remember, you're talking to an uncool person here.
Well, I think it's really funny that you and I actually bonded so quickly because we met through the OG, which is the Operators Guild, and you're the lead here for the Austin chapter. And I know that I was trying to get more involved with other operators and professionals, and we met, and it was just so funny because you were you're so dry. Your humor is unbelievably dry, and I don't even know beginning if people even knew you were joking, which made it even funnier because you didn't care. Like, you kept saying these jokes, and you were saying it so dryly and so sarcastically that I actually think that half the people there didn't even know that it was a joke.
They came back. So
they came back exactly. Yeah, that's true. That's true. But it was so funny. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this guy is hilarious. This is so funny. And then we hit it off pretty easily after that because I just thought you were hilarious. But it is a weird mix because you and I are kind of opposites in our personalities.
Yeah, that's true.
It is like, pretty cool.
You're very extroverted. I'm very introverted naturally. And it's just it is interesting how we clicked, but you know, I think it's good to have different viewpoints in your life. So you know, for me, it's, you know, you thrive on people, and I'm like, I want to go to a party for 2 hours, and then at like two and a half, 3 hours, I'm like, okay, I've had enough socialization, I'm ready to go home.
Yeah,
and that's, you know, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
So that's the thing, like, I've learned as I've gotten older is, like, I don't actually care what other people think. Yeah. And so, you know, if I want to stay there for 2 hours and go home, that's what I'm going to do. So,
dude, this is going to sound really crazy and make me feel really old or sound like I'm really old. But what I'm realizing, and I think what I'm going to feel like when I'm 50, is that not only do I not care what people think as much as I used to, because now I'm older and wiser, but I have a weird feeling by the time we're 50, we're going to realize no one actually ever cared about us either. You know, like, I think that's like kind of what I'm realizing. Not only do I not care what other people think anymore, I actually don't think anybody ever cared about me.
Well, so that's my whole like view of social media is I don't care what the collective you thinks about a particular topic. So why would you care what I think? So that's like my view of a lot of the, you know, Facebook, Twitter, whatever. I don't have a Twitter. I don't have a Instagram or anything like that because I just don't do any of that stuff. I have a LinkedIn for like professional reasons, but you know, I just don't think that people care what I think, just like I don't care what they think. So, you know, I maybe I'm wrong, but who knows?
I think that there's a little bit of, you're definitely wrong a little bit. I definitely think that you have a lot to say, and I definitely think you have a lot of knowledge to give. And I just think that you're maybe not talking to the right people just right now, but you're starting to see it. I mean, you're getting asked to be on panels and speak, and like, you know what I mean? Like, you're getting to that point.
And podcasts.
And podcasts, exactly. I mean, this is going to skyrocket your popularity.
Oh, totally.
I mean,
this is my first podcast.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, it's man, I'm honored. Podcast. I'm honored. Thank
and,
you.
And I think it's going to be only downhill from here.
So. If you have a second one, I want you to actually say that on the second one, okay? This has to be less better. It has to be worse than this one, okay? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'll say that. I'll say this was a great podcast, but it wasn't as good.
There we go.
As the Girl Dad podcast.
There we go. I love it. All right, let me jump into some rapid fire questions so I can get you on your way here. So these are the questions that I like to ask every guest. So no matter what the conversation is, there's some symmetry to the show. Let me fire them off to you. What advice do you have for other parents and soon to be parents?
There is no right answer and there is no formula. Just do your best.
Truer words have never been spoken. I feel like I talk about this like every day with my wife. Like, it's okay. Like, we don't know what we're doing. Nobody knows what they're doing.
No one knows what they're doing.
Yeah, just do our best. Yeah. I love that. If you could go back and tell yourself one thing before you had kids, what would it be?
The routine matters.
Hmm.
Kids and dogs are creatures of routine. And just like every day when I walk downstairs at somewhere between after I finish working, my dogs follow me because that's when they know we're going for a walk.
Mm.
My daughter, if you do a routine, they're so much better. Mm. So that's what I like. Once we got her on a routine and we do the same thing every day, and yeah, it's like monotonous sometimes, but she's a lot happier and she sleeps. And that's all I really care about is that she sleeps.
Mm. It's really interesting. It is really interesting because, there's two things that are interesting. One is that you've now brought up your dog twice now and lumped him in with is it a he or a she for the dog?
I have one of each. So I will have one of each human child and one of each dogs. So one boy, one girl.
Oh, that's amazing. That's great, man.
Not intentional.
So, yeah, I got it. Oh, even with the dogs, you just grabbed them.
Oh yeah, the dogs were just I just grabbed them.
That's awesome. So, one, you're equating the discipline and kind of like the parenting, the skills that you need for both, kind of generically to both animal and human, which is really interesting to me. Why do you do that?
Well, so for me. I am somewhat rigid sometimes. I've been told occasionally at how I approach things.
Yeah, you're very opinionated, that's for sure.
And unwilling to compromise. And a dog that we got 5 years ago actually prepared me for kids really well.
Yeah.
Because you can't just do whatever you want and ignore the dog. You have to take care of them. You have to walk them. You have to feed them. You have to do things like that. So this might be an unpopular opinion, but I actually think that taking care of dogs and taking care of young children is quite similar. Like, for example, I have two large dogs, a 2.5-year-old and a pregnant wife. Like the amount of shit I deal with in my house on a daily basis is astronomical. Yeah.
Literally and figuratively, right?
Literally and figuratively. The amount of shit in my house is astronomical. Most of the time it goes in all the right places, but occasionally it doesn't, right? So, I keep saying that they're very similar because I think a lot of the same principles apply and discipline and routine and making a dog a normal dog and also making your kid a successful human. Some people don't like it when I compare their kids to my dog, but that's okay.
No, I love it. I think it's great. I just think it's interesting, right? Because I think the same skills are applied. I mean, I recently started coaching a dog training business owner.
Oh, cool.
And and so just like, you know, helping him out with his business. And it's like so funny the parallels there are to coaching a business owner as there is to him training his clients in the dogs. Like he'll point out like, oh, you're doing that thing that I do with my dogs or with the client that owns the dog. Yeah. And I'm like, oh my God, that's hilarious. Are you serious right now? He's like, yeah, it's exactly the same thing. And I'm like, oh my God, it's all tied together. Yeah. So
it's all tied together.
Yeah. And then the second funny thing I was going to say, the interesting thing is just the routine, because what I've realized is that like, I think as humans psychologically, we, as much as we say we love spontaneity or we like new things or we like the excitement stuff, there is a comfort and contentness that comes from having a set base, right? Like knowing what your base is, right? And then like it's like the whole idea of like if you can create that base to be incorporative of like very positive things, it'll actually enhance your life. And this is why I think people do journaling and create habit trackers and all this stuff, right? Because it's about like creating those habits, and you can like kind of force design your life, you know, or change it based on what you kind of have as your habits.
I think that's well said. I mean, I think it's, you know, you have to find what makes you comfortable and makes you successful. Yeah. And for everyone that looks different. But you know, you should do whatever makes you the most successful in your routine and in your house. And, you know, my house is my happy place because I've got areas to relax in. I've got, you know, places to play with my kids and lots of different things to do here. But I think that's very well said about how you have to kind of curate what you're going to, how you can be happy.
Man, that's awesome. Yeah, I'm glad you agree. I just thought that your commentary about that habit was very interesting. So let me go to the next one. What is the most surprising thing that you learned about yourself after becoming a parent?
That's a good question. Maybe that there is patience in there somewhere in my heart of hearts. That it does exist and it can be found. So, not sure that it did exist prior to kid number one, but I do believe that there is some of it there now.
Well, it's funny because I've seen you both in work settings and in the pool, right? In my backyard.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's really funny to see.
Drinking a beer.
How, yeah, exactly. And, you know, how dry, sarcastic, and matter of fact you are in a professional setting. And then, you know, in a personal setting, in your with your kid, you're just like much more relaxed. And you are more patient. You'll answer the same question multiple times. Yeah. And so, yes, absolutely. But I wouldn't expect anything less, right? It's like one of those things that's like, yeah, you know, you're a good guy. You just have a prickly exterior. Which is, if I could say so endearingly.
It doesn't offend me.
Okay, perfect. Let's keep going here. All right, so what's your all-time favorite business book?
The problem is I can only describe books. I can remember the title. So one of the ones that I enjoyed was Five Dysfunctions of a Team. I think it's by Lencioni.
Nice.
I also enjoyed the book, which I can't remember the name of, by the Cisco former CEO, John Chambers. And then, that was a good one and about execution. And then also the one by the, I think it was former Intel CEO, which I'm terrible with remembering titles and things like this. I can just remember what the books were about, and they were generally about, you know, how to be good managers and good leaders and how to run teams. Because, you know, like I said, at the beginning of this, it's like, I believe very strongly that building good teams is how you scale businesses. So, you know, I look to learn everything I can about how to build good teams and how to be good managers.
Yeah, that's really, really interesting. I didn't know John Chambers wrote a book, the Cisco CEO. That's really cool.
Yeah, so I'll have to he go look did, and I and again, I can't remember the title off the top of my head, but I believe that was the one I'm thinking of.
Yeah, that's like that's a pretty big tech titan, OG for sure. Like. Definitely the OG days of Silicon Valley, but he's still a tech titan, and I didn't know he even wrote one. That's awesome. So I'll have to go look that up. Cool. And then last question. When you're not, you know, being the superpowered executive traveling the globe, you know, for Sidetracker or the patient father for your kids and dogs and family, what do you do for fun?
So I really like soccer. I watch a lot of soccer. I watch it with my daughter, and then I play when I can, which is not that often anymore. Yeah. But I really enjoy that, and then I love being outdoors with friends. So, like my favorite thing, one of my favorite things to do is like be with friends and their kids, you know, in a park or something like that. I think it's great, and listening, and then I'll Third thing is listening to live music, which I don't do a ton of these days, but I will listen to almost anything live because I just enjoy sitting out there and you know, being around a band and
the senses.
The senses, yeah, it's fun, which is actually what I'm going to go do in about an hour. So
wow, that's awesome. What, who are you going to go see?
I don't know. There's a local place near us that has a band every Friday night, and they have a big playground. So that's what we're going to go do.
That's right. That's perfect. Well, man, that's really awesome. And John, thank you so much for taking an hour out of your busy schedule socializing with me. I know you have another hour left of socializing before you need to turn off, but
exactly. I
appreciate you spending
one more hour left.
I appreciate you spending one of those 2 hours with me today. It means a lot to me that you're on the show, and I look forward to seeing you next week at the OG dinner.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for inviting me. This was great. It was a wonderful first podcast for me, and I look forward to hopefully coming back someday.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to The Girl Dad Show. Please take a moment to follow us on social media. You can find us at The Girl Dad Show on all major platforms. We look forward to staying in touch and keeping you up to date with all the new guests that are coming out.